CD 4.
I seem to recall she come over and helped you out when you had that spot of plague in your village, she said. Worked the clock around, I recall. Never known her not treat someone ill who needed it, even when they, you know, were pretty oozy. And when the big old troll that lives under Broken Mountain came down here for help because his wife was sick and everyone threw rocks at him, I remember it was Esme that went back with him and delivered the baby. Then when old Chicken Wire Hopkins threw a rock at Esme, a little while afterwards all his barns was mysteriously trampled flat in the night. She always said you can't help people with magic, but you can help them with skin, by doing real things, she meant. I'm not saying she's not basically a nice person, Magrat began. I am. You'd have to go a long day's journey to find someone basically nastier than Esme, said Nanny Og. And this is me saying it. She knows exactly what she is. She was born to be good, and she don't like it. Nanny tapped her pipe out on the rail and turned back to the saloon. What you got to understand about Esme, my girl, she said, is that she's got a psychology as well as a big ego. I'm damn glad I ain't. Granny was $12 ahead. Everything else in the saloon had stopped. You could hear the distant splash of the paddles and the cry of the leadman. Granny won another $5 with a 3-card onion.
What do you mean, a psychology? Said Magrat. Have you been reading books?
Nanny ignored her. The thing to watch out for now, she said, is when she goes under her breath. That comes after the ear cleaning. It generally means she's planning something. Mr. Frank drummed his fingers on the table, realised to his horror that he was doing it, and brought 3 new cards to cover his confusion. The old baggage didn't appear to notice. He stared at the new hand. He ventured $2 and bought 1 more card. He stared again. What were the odds, he thought, against getting a great onion twice in one day? The important thing was not to panic.
I think, he heard himself say, that I may hazard another $2.
He glanced at his companions. They obediently folded one after the other.
Well, I don't know, said Granny, apparently talking to her cards. She cleaned her ear again. What do you call it when, you know, when you want to put more money in, sort of thing?
It's called raising, said Mr. Frank, his knuckles going white.
I'll do one of those raisings, then. $5, I think.
Mr. Frank's knees ground together.
I'll see you and raise you $10, he snapped.
I'll do that too, said Granny.
I can go another $20.
Granny looked down, suddenly crestfallen. I've got a broomstick.
A tiny alarm bell rang somewhere at the back of Mr. Frank's mind. But now he was galloping headlong to victory.
Right.
He spread the cards on the table. The crowd sighed. He began to pull the pot towards him. Granny's hand closed over his wrist.
I ain't put my cards down yet, she said archly.
You don't need to, snapped Mr. Frank. There's no chance you could beat that, madam.
I can if I can cripple it, said Granny. That's why it's called Cripple Mr. Onion, ain't it?
He hesitated.
But you could only do that if you had a perfect 9-card run, he burbled, staring into the depths of her eyes.
Granny sat back.
You know, she said calmly, I thought I had rather a lot of these black pointy ones. That's good, is it?
She spread the hand. The collective audience made a sort of little gasping noise in unison. Mr. Frank looked around wildly.
Oh, very well done, madam, said an elderly gentleman.
There was a round of polite applause from the crowd, the big, inconvenient crowd.
Yes, said Mr. Frank. Yes, well done. You're a very quick learner, aren't you?
Quicker than you.